Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
What do you think this is going to be a big press conference?
I'll bet this is a good one.
Yeah, we see what you saw. Cute. I don't think it's going to be. I'm with you, Dan. I don't think he's going to give us anything.
That's adorable.
I knew you were going to say adorable. I love it when Dan says, oh, that's adorable. Way to
beat
Jeff.
That's so cute.
Would you have respect for him if he stood up there? I didn't hear the press conference right away because I was doing Brownie Bites with
He dodged every... He dodged every bullet.
Would
yesterday.
You respect a coach that went out there today and said, you know what? I'm going to take the blame for this and the entire blame for the entire game. Because you know what? I didn't put my team in the best position to win. I was too.
Sean McVay did Thursday night?
Yeah.
You know what I want? I want this.
Well, what happened was we just got our ass totally kicked. We couldn't do diddly poo offensively. We couldn't make a first down. We couldn't run the ball. We couldn't complete a pass. We sucked. The second half, we sucked. We couldn't stop the run. Every time they got the ball, they went down and got points. We got our ass totally kicked in the second half. That's what it boiled down to. It was a performance in the second half. I'm totally embarrassed and totally ashamed. We got our ass kicked in that second half.
I want to bring Jim Mora out of retirement just to do press conferences.
Playoffs. Wow.
I want Jim Mora out just for that. That's
I could never see Kevin doing that coming out. You know what? At the game. At the end of the game, it was 100% my fault. I totally messed up the clock. And to make it even worse, I'm going to throw a couple people under the bus, some of the people that were trying to help me. I got a call from Paul DePodesta. He was in California. I was on the sidelines. He said, analytics says that you need to do this here. So I'm just kidding, by the way. It's a total joke, right? And so I would love it if we had just one time heard a coach. And then, you know, I was looking up in the booth, and I saw Jimmy looking back at me, and I was like, should I call timeout here or not? I think Jimmy wants me to call a timeout. Oh, okay. Just once.
You hear Sean McVay Thursday?
Just once I'd like to hear complete honesty.
McVay, after Thursday's loss to the Niners, he said, "And I that was a terrible play call on my part. I got to give my offense something better. That's all on me. I screwed it up. That was bad." It's like, okay.
How many times can you do that? That's the question.
Three.
How many times have we heard Kevin say, we got to coach better?
Oh, God, don't even.
Daily?
Says I've heard him say it more this year than
Bailey.
We got to coach better. We got to coach him up better.
Could this be a new beginning?
Yeah, you said this 20 minutes ago, and I'm still sitting here shaking my head. Explain. Show your work, as Dan would say.
Well, it's this. For the first time in 5 years, this is the sixth, it looks as if Andrew Berry has figured out how to draft some impactful offensive talent. Okay? I don't remember if you were here the day that I went over this or not, Andy. But I went through his first five drafts, and he drafted 18 people on offense. 18 offensive people in his first five drafts. This last year was his sixth, but in the first five drafts of the 18 people that he drafted on offense, none of them started for the Browns yesterday. Two would have, Cedric Tillman and DeJuan Jones, but they were out with injuries.
Okay.
And only seven of the 18 are still with the Browns. Nine of the 18 people that he drafted on offense in his first five drafts aren't even in the NFL right now. Okay. Here's why it could be a new beginning.
A new beginning with Jeff Phelps Cleveland Browns.
Tell me, is there anything to this? And I don't know that it is, because I think his drafting of offensive talent in his first five drafts was miserable. I mean, it was miserable. Jed Wills, Harrison Bryant, Nick Harris, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Anthony Schwartz, James Hudson, Dimitri Felton, David Bell, Cade York.
I do truly believe this is groupthink, and I truly believe
his name's on it.
That's right. His name is on it. So he may not, maybe Donovan Peoples-Jones wasn't his guy. What if it was?
And he was good for a while, by the way.
But what if it was somebody else? You know, like.
Yeah, like you're thinking Paul DePodesta?
Yes.
Okay. Well, maybe, Andy. Maybe. Here's why it might be a new beginning. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back. Jimmy Haslam. We took a big swing and miss at the quarterback. Okay?
Okay.
We took a big swing and miss at the quarterback. That's admitting organizational failure. Okay?
He could buy because he said we?
Yeah.
Okay.
We took a big swing and miss at the quarterback. At least I believe he said we took a big swing and miss at the quarterback. I don't recall him saying Andrew took a big swing and miss. I recall him saying we.
Is that if you spend money, we'll put it back into the team?
This year was the first year since the trade that they had a first round draft choice.
Correct.
Now you traded down.
All right.
You didn't take Travis Hunter, who's not off to a great start with Jacksonville. You picked up a defensive tackle who is working out pretty well so far. Mason Graham looks like he can play. And you got one for next year. So you already paid it forward. Okay?
Okay.
And then you draft Carson Schlesinger.
Good pick. Very good pick.
Quinshon Judkins. Good pick.
Good pick. Great pick. Right. So
Harold Fannin.
Very. It seems like a strong pick.
Looks like he can play.
Yep.
Harold looks like he can play. Dylan Gabriel made his first NFL start yesterday. Looked competent.
Yeah.
Okay. He looked competent. Dylan Sampson. I think he's been underused lately, but that's another story. And then Shador, who we don't know anything about. Could this be a new beginning? We took a big swing and a miss at the quarterback. First year back, you get a number one pick again after having to cough up three of them, along with 2/4 and a third. And now you have an opportunity to maybe add some talent to the team. And in his first draft since all that, he has.
Okay.
And
what's the point here? Is he going to be here for another draft?
Well, the point is he here for another draft? Is Kevin here for another season? Because management ownership knows, look, we messed up as an organization, and here we go. Now we're going to do this again. Could it be a new beginning? I think it could be.
I don't know, man. It's the NFL.
That said,
that's the NFL.
You and I both know you don't survive another 3-win season.
No. This is the biggest problem I have with yesterday's game. I believe that most people thought Kevin would be okay as long as they show improvement. Yesterday was negative yardage. It was not improvement. You can't lose that way.
Andy, it was for 3 quarters. And then it completely fell off the face of the earth.
How many wins did you... Unless the master plan is to have it look that way so your draft picks are higher.
Ding, 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 ding.
I don't want to believe
it. I know you don't want to believe it. Andy, you have 2 first-round picks next year. It doesn't behoove you to win games right now. That said... You're not gonna choreograph what happened in the fourth quarter yesterday. You're just not gonna do that. You can't do that to the players on the team. They won't let you. Because they're still out there playing.
Although their paycheck doesn't change, does it? Unless you have incentives and bonuses.
Well, no,
except
for one thing. It's their livelihood, it's their body on the line.
That's true too.
Kenny is in California. Hello, Kenny.
Where are you in California, Kenny?
I'm in Sacramento, California, the capital.
Very nice.
Yes. I'm good with capitals. I know that.
I have a buddy who worked out there for many years.
Oh, nice.
There's a great barbecue place in Livermore if you ever drive back towards San Francisco.
I'm always in Livermore. I love Livermore.
There is a great barbecue. Yeah. Am I giving away?
Does Katie Lee go there?
No, but it's called Sauced. It's awesome. Like when the Cavaliers were in the finals, we used to drive up from Oakland to go. It was that good.
Nice. Well, I want to just say I love you, gentlemen. I love listening to you, gentlemen. This is my first year actually listening to you. A lot of it has to do with the buzz around Cleveland. What I wanted to talk about today, if you would allow me to, is the one thing that we're failing to mention and what I see in my observation from yesterday's game with Dylan Gabriel. To me, Dylan Gabriel reminds me of an Alex Smith, in that Alex Smith was a great game manager. He can complete the ball. He can get the ball out of his hands. But he couldn't take you over the top. And with today's defenses that have bigger, stronger, faster, more complicated defensive schemes, you need that it factor. You need that player that's sensational. If you look at Baker Mayfield, he's making plays when the plays break down. He shows the grit and the toughness to get you an extra yard, even fight through somebody to get a first down.
Yeah, we saw it when he was here. We saw it.
Yeah, a lot of it has to do with his makeup. And it seems, I look at the comment that G. Bush said on his show the other day, which made a lot of sense. He said Kevin Stefanski would turn down someone who has ultra talent for someone who can fit what he wants, who can just do what he wants and fit what he wants, versus scheming towards that talent, allowing that person to be who he is, that it factor that makes him extraordinary. And it seems as though he chose Gabriel for that very reason. Just do what I ask you to do. Play within my scheme. Complete these short passes when today's game is different.
Kenny, let me throw this one at you, though.
Go ahead.
He didn't draft Gabriel. He also didn't trade for Watson.
But look what he's doing with a person who has the exceptional talent. You cannot tell me.
Who's the person with the exceptional talent?
Shadur.
Oh, that's a stretch.
Well,
Dan,
I mean, he's shown it. If we go to his college and we look at his passes,
I have, Kenny.
Have you seen the amount of passes he's thrown over 10 yards?
Yeah, I think Shadur did a fine job in college. I don't know that he's going to be a phenomenal quarterback. I sure hope so. But I think, Kenny, you're hard-pressed to say that he's got the incredible talent. I hope he does. But there's a reason that teams passed him over time and time and time again. I hope that the Browns ended up getting a steal in the fifth round. Okay, I hope they got a steal in the fifth round. We'll find out.
I don't know. I want to see him at some point, especially if they keep losing games. I just the only thing I didn't like about the phone call is, I mean, you're saying this all based on one NFL game, that he didn't have the spark, or he didn't, because everything.
And it was a very conservative play calling.
Yesterday, I mean, if you listen to the pregame show yesterday, the network pregame show, they were talking about.
Well, I sure hope you did, because that's hosted by Andy Baskin.
That's right, the juice. They kept talking about the juice. That's what they thought Gabriel had. So I hate to end his career after four quarters. So that's the only problem I have there.
I would agree with you on that. Sean's in Kent. Sean, got about a minute, buddy. Go ahead.
What's up, Sean?
Hey guys. So, you know, I didn't want them to re-sign Joe Flacco or to sign Joe Flacco. I wanted them to keep Winston. You know, I think we would be better off with him right now, because he would be jacking it down the field if nothing else. And
if Kevin let him,
Kevin did let him before.
He let him, so
yeah,
he did. And you know, if I can just say something quick about the Gabriel comment, the last thing, you know, I noticed one time yesterday, I never thought like the heights would be an issue, but yesterday, and I didn't start watching until towards the end of the fourth quarter, he got rushed and he had to throw the ball, he had to like do a rainbow throw to get it over the outstretched hands of the defender that was coming in at him. And that's when I was kind of like, oh, yeah, that's not so great. But anyhow, I'll get out of here. You guys have a good day.
Thank you very much.
That's the first person that said anything about his height.
Yeah, but I mean, shorter quarterbacks sometimes have to do that. So that's the way that goes. Kevin Stefanski's press conference, 1:30.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
About 6 minutes from now, Kevin Stefanski will have his press conference in Berea. Was scheduled for 3 o'clock today. They moved it up to 1:30. So Kevin coming up at 1:30. We'll hear it right here on 92.3 The Fan. I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy over there is Andy Baskin. I think Kevin needs to change his tune today. And I wonder if he will.
How?
Just be a little more frank and honest about... I think I like Kevin. I've made that real clear. And I think he can coach. And I think he comes off as very sincere. I also think he comes off as too well media coached. And instead of saying what's on his mind, he says what he says stuff that it's like, okay, you know, we'll get it fixed. We need to be better. We all need to be better. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, your fan base isn't silly. Your fan base watched. Your fan base knows. We have good football fans here. We have people who know what they're looking at. We know we have people here in this town who can look at a football game and think, well, this doesn't work, and this isn't good, and this was wrong, and this is good. And people know that. And I hope that Kevin changes his approach to this a little bit because, man, you can't sugarcoat what happened yesterday. You had the game, and you screwed it up. Your offense did, your defense did, and your coaching did. Doesn't get much more simple than that.
No. I don't see, you know, it's interesting when you hear him in a press conference compared to a one-on-one interview. I think he is, the guy you want to hear from is the one-on-one interview guy. I think he's pretty good there. But when he gets to these press conferences, I think he feels like there's 15,000 people asking him questions, and he doesn't want to open up a new line of questioning that's going to, you know, set him in a direction he doesn't want to control.
You know what I think has always been interesting with Kevin? And Mike Martz is one of them who's been on our show, you know, many times over the years. And Mike, a great offensive mind. And Mike, you know, with the greatest show on turf.
Yep.
When the Rams were doing their thing with Kurt Warner and Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce and Marshall Faulk. Mike tells us Kevin's a good play caller. And he thinks he comes up with really good stuff. And runs a really good scheme. And Mike Martz likes him. That means a lot to me. And we've had other people with football backgrounds, both on and off the show, tell us, yeah, this guy knows what he's doing. He's a good football coach. That carries a lot of weight with me. Now that said, you got to start producing. And
it's just the 20, you know, it's the Andy, getting it's the 20 the, points.
If we
is
get
part
to 18,
problem.
I think we celebrate.
There are things I do like about him. And I think that's the problem I'm having here is that, and I also wonder where is the direction coming from? Is it because you have that HC after your name, that means you're going to take it all. You know, owners can deflect, yeah. General managers can deflect. It's really hard for a head coach to deflect, but they can.
That's really true. I mean, it falls on him. You know, Andrew Berry's not meeting with the media four times a week. Jimmy Haslam not meeting with the media four or five times a week. Paul DePodesta's not meeting with the media four or five times every decade.
Jeff, the average points per...
You missed that.
I'm sorry, Paul D. Yeah, I was focused on...
I said four or five times every decade.
Every decade. Good point. Yes.
Paul's an incredible thought partner.
See, there it is.
The average points per game in the NFL is 21 point. It's 21 point something. So it's like 0.8, 0.7. It's just flat. It's weird though, because points have gone down a little bit. Excuse me. In 2020, it was 24 points per game. In 2021, it was 23 points per game. And the last two seasons, it's been 21.9, 21.8. So down a field goal since. And I wonder if that has anything to do with extra points being farther away. I don't know if that's a point. But right now, early for this season, you're looking at 21.4. And we can't even get to 20. And what is it? It's one more drive, one more field goal, two more field goals a game?
Well, it's something.
I mean, we're just asking the offense to be average. That's what we're asking. We're saying, can you be average?
In games this year, 16 against Cincy, 17 against Baltimore. And Baltimore has been giving up points like absolute crazy. 13 in the win against Green Bay.
Gentlemen, we now go live to Berea for Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski.
Obviously, still feel the same way as I did after the game. Frustrated, disappointed that we don't close that game out in the fourth quarter, obviously. So got to find a way in those moments to play complimentary ball. And that's on us to get it done. And that's what we'll focus on. And that's what we'll work very hard at doing and making sure that we're all at our best in those moments. But with that, I'll take any questions.
All right. First, we'll go to Scott.
Hey, Kevin, after watching the film, what were your takeaways about Dylan's first start?
Yeah, a lot of positives, Scott. Obviously, can always be better, and certainly we as an offense have to be better and score more to help this football team. But for you know, a young player in that environment versus that defense to take care of the ball, make the plays he made, I thought was a lot of positives with plenty to clean up, and that's what he will do, and that's the mentality he has, is certainly to be a player that you know, continues to get better week in and week out.
And when you look at that last Vikings drive, the winning touchdown drive, what were the issues defensively that you saw? What could you have done differently?
Yeah, obviously, you know, give them credit. But we had a couple mistakes there, and guys played really, really, really well, and then kind of had one lapse there towards the end, and it cost us in that drive, which is disappointing. You know, our defense wants to be on the field in that moment, and I have no doubt that in the future, we put them in that spot, they'll come through.
Thanks.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
All right, next we will go to Dan.
Hey, Kevin. I wanted to ask about that last drive, too. So I know you got asked about this yesterday with the timeouts. The first one specifically, would you have liked to have had that timeout called earlier? It felt like there were maybe 10 or 15 seconds that went off the clock before you called that.
Yeah, obviously anything in those scenarios, Dan, I want to make sure I'm putting the team in a good spot. If there's things that we can improve, we will. Obviously, the mentality was try to keep some time on the other side of it, but we can definitely be better there.
And then just with Quinshon yesterday, obviously his best game since you've gotten him here. But can you just talk a little bit about how he played yesterday and what when he plays like that, what does that do for your offense?
Yeah, he's a tough out. He's kind of showing us and everybody the type of player he is. You know, have to remember that he got here late and has continued to get better each and every game. He's a fiery competitor, and you know, he had, you know, a bunch of plays there. Obviously had one called back for the holding, and I understand why that was called, but he continues to make hard yards when there's hard yards we made. And then when it's blocked clean, as it was a few times yesterday, you see that he does have the ability to go. So a young player, again, that will only get better each week.
All right. Next we go to Tony.
All right. I actually have seven questions. Hopefully some of them will be asked after my stint here. Two quick ones for Kevin. Do you believe that the left tackle, the Vikings, false started on that touchdown to win the game?
Honestly, it doesn't matter. I understand the question, Tony. I thought it live, but it doesn't matter.
Another question I have is, you know, we've talked over the years of your head coaching job here, how you share input in-game in hectic situations through the headphones. Do you believe you have too many voices in your ears in those hectic situations?
I don't, Tony. I don't. I'm very comfortable with the group we have in-game.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, next go to Ashley.
Yeah, Kevin, I wanted to ask about your guys' second to last drive, the three and out. Just given the way the Vikings were stacking the box against you guys, watching that back, I guess, what did you think of how you guys handled that?
Yeah, you know, obviously, Ashley, you get into 4-minute drives, and the goal there is to stay on the field, get first downs, make the clock roll, and finish the game with the ball. Obviously, going three and out doesn't get it done. And when you look at that as a coach, you always immediately and also now think about different things that you can do. There's a ton of philosophies there and what you're trying to do, who you're trying to play through. If you want to have risk involved and you know, potentially use the quarterback there. So there's all sorts of things that we can do in that situation. And anytime you come up short, you always think about putting your players in position to succeed. So frustrating to not gain yards on that first and second down calls, and then frustrated obviously to come away with an incompletion on third down. But we'll teach off of it. We'll learn from it.
And then I wanted to ask about David, because I mean, stats wise, this was his best game. I guess how important was he and the performance he had in terms of what Dylan was able to do?
Yeah, obviously we ask a lot of Dave in the run game and certainly in the pass game as well. I thought he had some good moments out there in the run game, straining versus a very, very good Vikings defense. And then, you know, come up big in the red zone there in the middle of the field, I thought was, you know, a nice outing by Dave.
All right, next
round of Jeff. Hey, Kevin, I have two questions. One, on those timeouts, did you think of consider not using them since the Vikings were down to one timeout and just forcing them to end up kicking a field goal as time was ticking off?
Yeah, obviously, Jeff, you think about all those things in those moments. You know, obviously it didn't work out for us how we wanted it to work out, both in the result of the game and, you know, that drive itself. So you're always thinking about different ways you can do it. But we trust our guys to come through it. But we didn't come through as a football team. That's players, coaches, that's offense, defense, and special teams.
And then secondly, did Dylan Gabriel show you enough that maybe he can start throwing downfield more to Jerry Jeudy and the other wide receivers?
Yeah, it's always a product of the game you're in, Jeff, I would tell you. We have a lot of faith in Dylan and our pass receivers, whether that's from the wide receivers, tight ends, running backs, you name it. We have a lot of confidence in our guys. So it's just very dependent on the team you're facing and what they're doing in the back end.
Thank you.
All right, next we go to Fred.
Yeah, Kevin, a little bit on the wide receivers. I mean, going in, I think the very end of the game, you got a catch or two, but only 5 catches for the wide receivers. I mean, how can you get them going? You know, it seemed to be a big difference. You got 10 catches out of your tight ends, but on, you know, the difference in the game, you see the Vikings wide receivers making plays all over the place, and you're limited to 3 or 4 catches.
Yeah, I think it's so game specific, Fred, but we obviously believe in our guys, and we have to find a way to be more explosive and obviously stay on the football field so you can score those points. And our wide receiver room will factor into that. So it's every game is different, but we have total trust in those guys.
All right, next we'll go back to Scott.
Hey, Kevin, on the last play of the game, besides Jamari breaking that tackle, like what needs to happen there for you to get a shot at the end zone?
Well, yeah, like you said, you know, trying to get the ball out of bounds, figuring you like your chances throwing the ball in the end zone from the 25 better than you do from the 50. You know, good play by them. Felt like we had a decent chance of executing there, but you got to say good play by them.
I mean, looking back, does it feel too risky that you don't get a ball thrown into the end zone there?
Yeah. You know, again, it's a risk reward in all these type of discussions and decisions that you're making, Scott, whether, you know, you take that Hail Mary from the 50 or from the 25, you're taking a risk in what you do.
And is the plan to get Cam ready to start at left tackle next week?
Yeah, we'll work through all those type of things the next couple of days.
Thanks.
All right, next we'll go back to Dan.
Yeah, Kevin, a question about Dylan and kind of his workload. How much did the circumstances of last week, you know, only having two real practices and having to travel to London, how much did that dictate kind of what you could ask him to do? And will a full week of practice, will that mean that you can maybe put a little more on his plate this week?
I would say it's very game specific, Dan, in terms of the opponent and who you're facing and what they do and how they do it. Obviously, the week last week was unique. I thought that Dylan and the guys handled that fine. I don't think that had anything to do with the plan and those type of things. They were very prepared, but I think it's very specific to your opponent is probably the biggest thing.
Thank you.
All right, we'll go back to Tony.
Okay, I only got two left, so go through them real quick. In preseason, Gabriel was very good at converting third downs. Yesterday, you were 3 of 15. What do you attribute that to?
Yeah, I think each one you can probably talk through, Tony, and it's a combination of things. But I thought by and large, he was getting through progressions. There's things that I know he can do better that he knew when he's walking off the field. So it's he's got very good self-awareness in those type of things. But that was a very good pass defense that we were facing, both from a coverage and a pass rush standpoint. So I thought he did a good job of taking care of the football, moving in the pocket when he needed to. But bottom line is you have to try to find a way to stay on the field. And a lot of times it's your ability to be efficient on first and second down and put you in some manageable third downs that will allow that.
All right. And this last one falls into the category of who cares at this point. But was anyone on the sideline aware that the 51-yard field goal caromed off the cable?
I was not aware. I'm not sure if anybody else was. I was not aware.
All right. Thank you.
All right. We'll go back to Ashley.
I know you talked about the receivers as a whole, but just with Jerry specifically and these handful of drops he's had, including the one yesterday, like, is there anything that you're seeing with him, like technical there or anything? Is it just a weird stretch for him right now? Just with that part specifically.
Yeah, nothing technical, Ashley. Jerry continues to be our best wide receiver. We have to find ways to get him involved in the game. Having said that, he's a leader on this team. He will do anything in his power to help this football team. And I'm excited about, you know, the future for Jerry and this offense. But obviously, I know he wants to do more, and we want him to do more.
All right, we'll go to Spencer.
Well, I actually took one of my questions, but I was also just going to ask, I know post-game you sort of talked about it with having Jerome in for that finals drive before the half for pretty much all those plays. Is that more so about just like experience where he's been in those situations more? Obviously, Quinshon's only played the four games at this point and maybe trusting in pass protection a little bit as well.
Yeah, you know, when you get into two-minute drives and you're playing at the line of scrimmage, obviously we have a veteran in Jerome that we trust in the pass protection game and the you know the run game, pass running routes, et cetera. Quinshon will continue to grow in those areas, and then you're also trying to be mindful of Q's workload and making sure that he's fresh, you know, for all 60 minutes.
Thank you.
Last one from Scott.
Any injuries coming out of the game, Kevin? And how do you think Jack held up in his first game back?
Yeah, guys, some guys banged up, but feeling good about, you know, where they are for to start the week out. And then I thought Jack held up real well, performed well in his first game back.
Thanks.
All right, that wraps us up. Thanks, Coach. Thanks,
everyone. Hey, thank you, guys.
Kevin Stefanski's press conference, one thing in particular stands out to me. We'll touch on that when we come back right here on Baskin and Phelps.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.